you know, we could go back down to the Baker County Circuit Court and seek a permanent injunction. But even then, I think basically the way the Supreme Court is going to decide, they're going to want to, you know, end this case one way or another. So because basically if they say that Governor Brown has, you know, didn't, you know, violate the Constitution or statutes, if they make that ruling, then basically it's going to affect our ability. Right now it's kind of, I think it's roughly do or die before the Oregon Supreme Court. And I think the U.S. Supreme Court would also not take this case because it largely centers around an issue of state law, which is whether she followed the statutory and constitutional time limits and procedures. So because there's an independent state law basis, the Supreme Court tends not to get involved in those cases.
Well, Ray, why don't you take a minute to wrap up any other thoughts and tell people how they can contact you if they want to help on this issue or future issues.
Well, if you ever need PJI services, you can do one of two things. You can email me at rhackey, it's R-H-A-C as in Charles, K as in Kansas, E as in Edward, at P as in Pacific, J as in Justice, I as in Institute.org. Or you can call me at 503-917-4409. And that's if you need our services. Now, if you want to help us, the best thing you can do is visit PJI's website. It's www.pacificjustice.org, and you can sign up to be a member. So for roughly $10 a month, you'll get information on what we're doing in Oregon and beyond. You know, we're not just involved in this Oregon Supreme Court case. We have a number of other Oregon cases that we're handling, from all different parts of the state. So you'll be kept up to date on that. And, you know, one of the reasons why we're able to represent churches free of charge is because of the generosity of our donors. We are heavily dependent on it. And yes, I understand that some of you may be hard hit financially, whether you lost a job or whether you haven't been able to open a business, due to the COVID-19 shutdown. So I understand, you know, asking for money under these circumstances is, something I'm a little bit nervous about, but $10 a month doesn't seem like a whole lot. So if you could visit our website and sign up to become a member, that would really mean a lot to me.
A final comment from one of our attendees says, why do we accept any limitations or constraints based on an unconstitutional edict from a tyrant? We have unalienable rights. Are they negotiable? How can she be held accountable? Is there anything that can hold her accountable in any way? Criminally, civilly?
Well, that's what we're doing right now, or at least trying to do by the before the Oregon Supreme Court. And there are actually a couple of other churches who are trying to do it through the Alliance Defending Freedom in federal court down in Eugene. Basically we are taking her to court, basically trying to, say, hey, you violated the rights of these churches and their pastors and the individual worshipers, hopefully the Supreme Court will side with us, especially since the danger is nowhere near as bad as they're making it out to be. I mean, COVID-19 has a 99.8% survival rate. I mean,
right.
You can't get much better than that. So, I think the danger is overblown, and I think it's just an opportunity for her to use, her emergency powers as an excuse to infringe on religious freedom. And so we're pushing back that way, and we're doing what we can do.
Could any individual sue her on any basis based upon rights that have been removed?
Possibly. I think that, part of me wonders, if the more lawsuits are filed, the better, only because, before everybody starts emailing me and asking me to represent them, bear in mind that I'm just one person. I don't have a full staff behind me. But I'm thinking that, you know, the more lawsuits that are filed with Kate Brown, I mean, you know, the more pressure she's going to feel. And she's already feeling some of the pressure. I mean, she's already, you know, the minute we filed the lawsuit in Baker County, you know, the very same day our motion for a preliminary injunction was heard, that's when she issued Executive Order 2025, you know, which, that's when she issued 2025, basically suddenly allowing churches to meet again. You know, then we pointed things out to the Supreme Court, and now all of a sudden, you know, in phase two, you know, churches can now have 250 people. And basically, you know, so she keeps changing her orders in responses to things that we're doing. I think she doesn't quite get it, but I think she's thinking like, okay, you know, if I give them something, maybe they'll back off. And you know, so I think she's starting to recognize that, yeah, okay, my orders are a bit too broad. I'm infringing a bit too much. I'm going to backpedal and give them a little bit more freedom. And so
anybody who wants to sue her on some civil issue might claim emotional damage or some other grounds, and more of those would provide more pressure.
Yeah. Theoretically, yeah, they could. They could file under 42, Section 1983 of Title 42, Section 1983 of the United States Code, which is basically what people use when their civil rights are violated. That's what we filed under the Portland Street Evangelist case that we just settled last week, or actually I think it was a couple weeks ago.
Maybe I'll make that the topic of another email. We'll see how many cases we can bring against her. Let me just wrap up in the last couple minutes. We do have an active chapter. I think I mentioned earlier that we're part of a larger national group, ffcoalition.com. There's 25 to 30 state chapters. They did great work in helping Trump get elected. We want to do the same things here. What I observe is that there isn't any group doing a county by county effort to organize chapters, and that's something we definitely want to do. Oregon, if you're not familiar with it, has something called the Oregon Political Action Tax Credit. It's interesting. I've done a poll where I asked people, are they aware of this unique funding tool for PACs? So we have a PAC, and we're also establishing a foundation as well. The interesting response I got sometimes is, I'm aware of it, but I've never done it. And I thought to myself, if they really understood it, they would use it, because who wants to give $50 or $100 to the state government to spend on taxpayer-funded abortions when they could take that money and give it to a PAC like our Oregon Faith and Freedom PAC? So we do have OregonFaithAndFreedom.org is the state-based website. You can go there. There's an easy place to do a tax credit. I don't know that you really would call it a donation. It's more of, hey, I've got some money coming out of my pocket. I'm redirecting it to you to do some things that I want you to do, rather than giving it to the state for the things they want to do. And the reality is only 6% of our population uses this tax credit. And then you can also give other kinds of money, but that's what you can give to a PAC right away. So if anybody is interested in organizing a local chapter, there is kind of an exciting little story that just happened recently where I heard about a Faith and Freedom rally in Medford. And I thought, how interesting that they would call it Faith and Freedom, because I might not have noticed it had it been named something else. So I called up these folks and congratulated them on the what they were doing, and found out that somebody else had seen this or been at the rally and wanted to do one. So they did one in Klamath Falls. So this has always been part of my thinking, is one way to organize quickly would be to host a rally, bring in a speaker or some number of speakers, and draw new people into the process. And what I discovered about these folks is that they were brand new. They didn't know anything about the history of Faith and Freedom and Ralph Free. They just got it, moved them. And so we're looking for people like that. And my thought is, I'd immediately like to get these folks to organize a chapter of Faith and Freedom in Jackson County and in Klamath Falls. And we need that in every county, because that's how we can educate and encourage the voting that we need to have happen. And of course, I'm not sure if you're aware, but the Slavic Christian community is already doing something about that. They had never voted, but this last session, when there was a great threat about enforcement of a very strict vaccine schedule, got them excited. And now there might be as many as 250,000 potential voters who have never been voters. And that in and of itself changes the equation here and turns Oregon from blue to red, if they have an effective outreach. But if we add to that our part in terms of encouraging our fellow worshipers to ensure they vote and get educated, we can change Oregon from blue to red. And that's the essential question I often ask in my emails. Can Oregon change from blue to red? What I observe is that Oregon is a purple state made blue because of their more effective operation and plans. So I'm going to conclude there, and I think what my hope is we can put this audio on our website and other people will benefit from it. And I thank you all for coming and joining us. And here's another question. How do I find out more about doing what I can do to help change Oregon? Well, that would be follow our email. Email me to jeffk@oregonfaithandfreedom.org. I'll definitely send you some more information about how you can get involved. The first thing you can do is send your tax credit donation, which really isn't a donation. We've already discussed that. And then it grows from there. You know, you can be a chapter leader of a county. You can work in your church. And I'll send you some information about that so we can help you get engaged in the steps that you can do. And, you know, one thing you can do is on either party, and generally I find that conservatives align themselves with the Republican Party because that's the party that does support their worldview more correctly. And there are things you can do within that where you can find out about your neighbors. Anyway, I'll explain that more to Becky if she emails me. And I'll conclude tonight by thanking you all for coming. And that was a very interesting update. And if Ray, if you have a final comment, go ahead and give it to us.
Nothing really more to add. Just by all means, if you know somebody that needs assistance with their religious freedom case, by all means, refer them to PJI.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you all for coming. Unless there's a final question, I'll conclude tonight's meeting. Thank you for coming.